Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apologies, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Last week in our study of Psalm 119, we were taught that the liberty that is given to us as Christians is not the liberty to sin, but the liberty to walk free from the burdens of sin. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
If you're going to have a dependency, then your dependency in this life ought to be the Word of God. Depend on it for guidance and do nothing without it. And that takes us to verse 45, where he says, "And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts." Now, I like that verse. He'll walk free of those weights and sins which easily beset me. You know, so often people look at the words liberty and grace as a license to sin, as a license to fulfill the desires of the flesh. Now, here's the psalmist. He's letting us know that he's going to walk free of those weights and sins which so easily beset him. We're reminded of Mark chapter 4, verse 19. Where it says, "And the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, enter in, and choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." Now, as a Christian, you can take in the word of God every day, day after day. But then, the cares of this world, things that are important to the world, but have no eternal value. Things that would be important maybe to other Christians, but to the unsaved as well. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. And then the lust, the desire for other things that you just don't have. They get in your heart. They quench the work of the Holy Spirit of the word that you put in your heart. And as a thorn, it chokes it, and you become unfruitful. Now, my friend, we're at liberty from those things, not to do those things. We're at liberty from the lust of the flesh. We're at liberty from the sins of this world. But we're also at liberty from the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this world and the lust of other things. Why won't it do those things? Because I'm seeking his precepts, that is, that which is mandated by God. The psalmist is letting us know, this is what occupies me instead. My liberty is a privilege given me by God. Sin no longer needs to control me. The desires of this life need no longer to control me. Then added to the pathway of commitment, and seeking the privilege of being liberated by God to seek what he has mandated for me in his word, I will next proceed with purpose if I want no regrets. We see that in verse 46. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. That means that I'll be a witness. That's what the psalmist is saying. In this prayer, this vowing prayer, he says, I'll be a witness. The testimony is the word of God. In Matthew 10:18-19, Jesus tells his disciples, "And ye shall be brought before governors and kings, and for my sake, for testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak. For it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. Other words, don't fear, because a crown of rejoicing and righteousness is in heaven. Great is your reward, so don't try to figure out, now how can I water this thing down? How can I make it look like that I am not really standing for Christ as sound, as tough as it sounded, as strongly as it sounded? No, you just let the Lord work those things out. Make it your purpose to be a witness as you walk life's pathway in the privilege of God's liberty and away from sin's power. And then we look at verse 47. He says, "And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved." Make it your lifelong goal to pant after God. Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2 says it this way, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" He says that he has loved his commandments. Love here is defined as a strong attachment with desire to be in the presence of the object love. It is a vehement, an ardent inclination of the mind in both tenderness and affection. The Hebrew word used to describe the love here is the Hebrew word that is used to describe the love in marriage. He wants us to come to a point in life that we yearn for His word as much or more than we do for our mate or for our children. More than the young person for their fiancé. Those young people, as the wedding date draws near, it seems like it won't come fast enough as far as they are concerned. And so, there's that yearning. And that's the way it should be about our hearts for the Word of God and obeying it. Then we can enter eternity with no regrets. When we walk in the right pathway, the privilege of liberty to walk in His will, when we live with purpose for Christ and His Word, and we pant after Him with our whole heart, then we make a promise in order to help us understand and to stand behind that commitment. We see that in verse 48. "My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes." Now, again, my friend, let's understand this about vows. God has in His Word many promises, many commands. And as we live according to those commands, we realize those promises. And as we study God's Word and we get to know and love God, then we go beyond things and not really specifically listed as commands, but rather as a call of God. Something that He puts in your heart as a desire, and we make a commitment to that thing out of love. In other words, it's something that He specifically has given us, and we make a promise, we make a commitment. Now, the commitment may be something very spiritual and biblical. It's something that we ought to do. For an example, I've heard of people that they made a commitment that they would witness to at least one person every day about their lost soul. And so, I've heard of men that said they got home, they're just getting in bed, it's near midnight, and they realized they had not witnessed to anybody about their lost soul that day. And so, got up, got dressed, went downtown to find the derelicts out there and witnessed to them about their lost soul and tried to lead them to Christ. And, well, those were vows made on a command to be a witness, but he added to it by saying, God, out of love for you, I want to try to witness to at least one lost soul every day. And then they set out to do it and to keep it. It was important to think of it at the end of the day. Obviously, it was important. Now, my hands, the psalmist says, will I lift up. Now, in the Old Testament days, the lifting up the hands signaled a solemn vow. In worship, it was a promise to stand behind whatever was said. For example, again, reading of the law in Nehemiah chapter 8, the people raised their hands. Although they weren't saying anything, they were hearing the word of God, and they raised their hands to show a vow to God to keep the things that were read. And when you're in a worship service, and you raise your hand at the singing or something the preacher's preaching, you're making a vow to whatever is said and sung, to live by that or whatever. We see this raising of the hand in the court of law, even today, where they may tell you to put your left hand on a Bible and to raise your right hand. And even if they take the Bible out, which some of them do, unfortunately, they still ask you to raise your right hand. Then they'll ask you, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God. Now they're leaving out, so help you God in some places. And nonetheless, you raise your hand, and that raising of the hand is recognized as a solemn vow, promise. As a matter of fact, you lie on that witness stand, they find it out, then you've committed perjury, and you're in big trouble. That raising of the hand means something. So he is lifting up his hands. Well, why is he lifting up his hands? Well, it's unto the commandments, which I have loved. He's promising to keep these commandments because he loves them. It's in his heart. When he says, which I have loved, that tells us that the testimony of them makes the word and its promises worthwhile to his heart. The promises of God he understands and believes by faith will make eternity so much better than any suffering here. I think Romans 8:18 captures that the best, where it says, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Now, the Holy Spirit used the Apostle Paul to append those words, and the Apostle Paul found out the truth of that. 5 times was he beaten, 3 times with rods. He was beaten. He was a night and a day in the deep. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.